Delaware State of the Arts. I'm Andy Truscott. My guests today are Rebecca Lowe and David White, the Adult Program Coordinator at the Lewis Public Library and the Artistic Director for Spoken Word Society. The Lewis Spoken Word Society celebrates the tradition and artistry of oral storytelling through lectures, performances, discussions, demonstrations, and other publicly shared experiences. Thank you both for joining me today. And for those who may not have heard about this activity, could you share how Spoken Word Society got started?
Sure. Thank you for having us. Spoken Word Society grew out of our Shakespeare Festival, which started in 2016 when we were celebrating the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death. And from there, we started bringing in more programming that was not necessarily related to Shakespeare. And at that point, we decided that we would David actually came up with the idea of the Spoken Word Society, and we've kind of moved more towards year-round programming that's related to that. And David can probably speak a little bit more to the idea that he had behind the Spoken Word Society.
Well, it grew out of the idea to attract more people to the work of Shakespeare. And to me, Shakespeare, the beauty and the power of Shakespeare lies in the text. So I thought bringing in text-based performances by professional artists from all over the region could demonstrate to our community and to our audience the incredible power and the joy and just the wonder that is text-based theatrical work.
So in its origins, can you speak a little bit about the Shakespeare Festival, what it strives to do in those moments? Were you production-based, or was it really just focused on the text there in the beginning?
Well, initially, the Shakespeare Festival grew out of an idea from a touring program that was coming in from Boston. And it grew into adding lectures and other activities around that. So while it was production-based, the interesting thing about our Shakespeare Festival is that we're not actually doing the production. Rather, we're bringing in artists from all over the region to present their work, Shakespearean and now fully text-based throughout. And the idea was if we could go year-round and bring in a broader and more varied approach to the spoken word, we might be able to turn more people on to Shakespeare itself and himself and his work, and perhaps take away some of the fear and motivate people to get excited about the text-based idea.
I think one of the things that's really great about the Spoken Word Society and about what we bring in is that we're not trying to compete with local theater companies. We are a public library. We are not a theater. We can't have huge productions. We're not talking about sets and lighting and, you know, sound and all of that. I mean, it's really, we try and find individuals and companies that can really pare it down to just the word. So a lot of it is stage readings, which has very minimal set design, very minimal needs from us, because we can only do so much in a public library setting. We are not set up to be a community theater. And we don't want to compete with the community theaters. We want them to, you know, do their work and to do it the best that they can, you know, to its full extent. And we're just more interested about getting people to think about language and text and books and readings, which is what we're all about as a library, but to do it with individuals who are trained in performance. I mean, I always say I could read you a story and it would be really boring, or I could bring in a trained professional actor who could read the story and make it absolutely fabulous, and then make you want from there to track down the source and say, oh, hey, I really loved that Poe reading that you did. I'm going to read some more Poe. I haven't read him since high school. And that's really what it's about.
And it's important to note, right, that the Spoken Word Society now is not focused solely on Shakespeare, but other influential writers of the day. Can you speak some about what recently some of the writers that you guys have focused on?
This season, we've had some luck with finding some folks regionally that are really right at our wheelhouse. We scheduled we hosted a performance of Poe, around Poe readings. We had a stage performance of a piece called Gettysburg, One Woman's War, which is an American author from the early part of last century. Done several things with Truman Capote. We've become a regular program here where we have The Thanksgiving Visitor and A Christmas Memory done by two fabulous actors out of New York City. And then this last weekend, we had the second year of Gerald Dickens' incredible one-man performance of his great-great-grandfather's A Christmas Carol coming in out of London, and it was extremely well-received.
The Christmas Carol that was most recently there that you had discussed was this actor's grandfather's version of. Can you share a little bit more about the uniqueness and what is attractive about bringing that event back year over year?
Sure. Gerald Dickens actually is the great-great-grandson of Charles Dickens. And he has now been performing a one-man performance of A Christmas Carol worldwide for 30 years. I discovered him at Winterthur several years ago and was encouraged by the library to seek him out and to see if he could come here. We worked with his agent, and we are now on a regular part of his American tour. It's an incredible piece. It's 90 minutes. He performs essentially all the roles. He's a master actor, and he's just a wonderful guy. And so he also takes the time afterwards to talk to our audience. They have questions for him. He tells stories about touring, about Dickens himself, and it's just a remarkable experience.
Yeah, it's really neat because originally when he talks about how he came into this, he was very resistant to kind of taking on his great-great-grandfather's work. And then he has since come to embrace it. And he really does embody all the characters. And when we held it last year here at the library, which seats only 140 people, and we, you know, had a huge long waiting list for it. So this year we thought we're going to go big. We're very lucky. We have a great relationship with the Cape and Lopin High School. They have a fabulous theater there. And so they said, yeah, you can use our theater. And we had over 700 people had signed up to attend, and we ended up with a final audience of about 550, so we went from 140 to 550 in 1 year, which was pretty amazing.
Well, I think we're starting to see that, especially this year, right, as we're coming out of the pandemic and people are searching out for activities that are communal based. These activities that are free, low cost, and family oriented are really up there in their popularity. So I'm thrilled to hear that that is becoming a really important keystone to the activities down there. I have to admit, I had heard the name, and then I was like, oh, it couldn't be Charles Dickens' family member. And then you're like, oh, no, it is. As we look forward and as we look to what's coming in 2023, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, we have a pretty full slate, actually, starting after the first of the year. We kind of gear up and we head toward a 2-week-long Shakespeare Festival in April. I'm finding that, like you said about the folks coming out of the pandemic, artistic companies are very much looking to perform, but not all of them are necessarily back to touring yet. So I've been very fortunate. We're having, for our Shakespeare Festival, which will be 2 weeks in April, starting April 10th, we're bringing in a one-man show called The Gravedigger's Tale, which is hosted by the Folger Library. We're also bringing in a brand new piece that's put together by the Fulton Town Theater Company out of Salisbury University. It's based in Falstaff. And then I'm very, very excited, just got permission to do this. Caroline Randall Williams, a poet who is currently in residence at Vanderbilt, wrote a piece called Lucy Negro Redux that was made into a ballet by Nashville Ballet called Black Lucy and the Bard, which was then presented on public television nationwide. It's an incredible piece. It's based on the 127th through the 154th sonnets of Shakespeare, which were written to a Black woman. And she wrote a book of poetry on that. We are going to be presenting that, excerpts of that read by Delaware Shakespeare and their corresponding Shakespearean sonnets, which will be a premiere piece that will also be airing Black Lucy and the Bard. Just got permission from Ms. Randa Williams just this last weekend to do that. So it's a big thing. We'll also have lectures, displays. We have a number of other programs going on throughout the spring, including a reprise of The Writer's Room and The Troupe, where we bring in high school and college students to create original works, which we'll be performing as part of our Shakespeare Festival, and as well as a number of other readings and smaller activities throughout the late winter and spring.
Rebecca, from the library's perspective and the audience that this brings in, the Spoken Word Society, I'm assuming, helps bring in a steady stream of individuals that can not only appreciate the work that the Spoken Word Society is doing, but also the activities and the work around the library. Can you share a little bit about what they might see as they're coming into the library?
Sure. One of the things that I think is really great about the library and the library program is that all of our programming is free. We never charge, and that's pretty much a line in the sand for us. We never want financial issues to be a barrier of access to any of our programming. So all of the performances, the lectures, the films, anything that we do, it will be free of charge. We absorb all of the cost involved with that. And we are very thankful to Delaware Division of the Arts for funding, as well as Delaware Humanities and other local organizations and businesses that support this type of programming. But we do offer year-round programming in other areas. So folks may come in because they're interested in the performance or they're interested in Shakespeare, and then they'll see, oh, the library does a whole lot more. There are book clubs here. There are discussion groups that happen on a regular basis. We have foreign conversation groups where people practice foreign languages that they're learning or that they have learned, and they just want to be able to keep up those skills. We have financial literacy courses that we offer through the Money School. So there's a whole lot. You know, we have children's programming, we have teen programming. I mean, it's from cradle to there's no age limit that you can access programming. So we really try and reach everyone and to offer it free of charge.
Rebecca, the library was also part of the division's Creative Aging Initiative this last year, correct? And I wonder if you share a little bit about some of the successes or some of the anecdotal feedback you received from some of the participants this year.
That was an amazing opportunity, and we are definitely grateful for that because we were able to bring in a local artist who's very well known, John Donato. He came in for two workshop series. They were 8 weeks long. They were on pastels. And the very first time we offered it, we had a limit of 13 participants, and we had a wait list twice that long. I mean, so many people wanted to participate in this. And then we were able to offer it again to everybody who was on the wait list. And then he'll be coming back again in the spring to offer the series yet one more time. And I think what was amazing about that program, one is that it was free art instruction from a very qualified instructor. And we have art programming in this area, but it's not free of charge and it can be very expensive. And so to be able to offer that to people was amazing. And the other thing was that it's very expensive to bring in an artist. You need to pay them for their time. And it's not only the time of teaching the classes and the materials that they bring in, but also, like, you know, the time to build a curriculum, the follow-up time. John did a great job of continuing with the group outside of class on social media. So there was a lot of work that he was pouring into this. And I work with a program budget of less than $9,000 a year. That program alone was, I think, at least $2,500. And that was all covered by the Delaware Division of the Arts. They recognized that it was important to offer this. And it's also a program that is specifically geared towards the 55 plus community. And I think that's really important in our area. One, you know, where we live, it's a retirement destination. The population people that I serve as an adult programmer are largely retirees, and they are looking for community and connection. And they're also looking to continue to learn, to experience. They don't want their minds to be stagnant and to be able to offer all sorts of different types of programming, whether it's the Shakespeare Festival or spoken word performances or a book club or an art class. All of that is about engaging people. And it's also about building community, because that's the one, you know, it's great to retire to the beach, but you also leave your entire community behind and you have to rebuild here. And for a lot of people, that's a struggle. We all know as adults, it's hard to make friends. And so if you can have activities here where people can start to meet others who, you know, have similar interests, they start to be able to rebuild that community that they left behind.
Do you find that the library serves as a resource to those that are new to the area? And so, as you mentioned, you know, making friends, do you find that the library is a central piece of that for the large majority of those that retire down to Lewis?
Yeah, I think that one of our goals is to be a community center. You know, people have over the years, you know, with the rise of ebooks, they're in the internet, they're like, oh, you don't need libraries anymore, but you do. And they are more important than ever, and they are more valuable than ever, because we are not just about books and not just about having public computers that anybody can use, but we really do strive to be a community center for everyone and to be able to come here and have your needs met. You know, and that is also includes like the social services that we're starting to provide here and the health literacy services that we're providing here. So we try and really touch all aspects of people's life, their lives, and make this a resource across the board that they can use, and also a place where they can build community. And a lot of people, that's their first stop. They're like, okay, they walk in, they're like, I haven't even been to the, I don't have my driver's license yet. Can you get me a card anyway? You know, I want a library card. And we're like, yeah, we can get you, even though you don't have, you haven't even made it to the DMV, but you stopped at the library. So that kind of gives you an idea of its importance in people's lives.
Can you share a little bit about the health and social services that you had mentioned earlier, and what is available to those in the Lewis area at the library itself?
Sure. Yeah, we have a partnership. It was the Delaware Division of Libraries has set it up. We have a social worker who is in the library 2 days a week. She is here Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 11 to 5. And she sets up an information table. It's a drop-in service, no appointment necessary, and she can help you navigate whatever your needs are. As part of that, we have a kiosk that can be used for medical appointments. So some people need to do telehealth appointments, or if they needed it for a job interview or anything like that, we actually have an enclosed private kiosk that they can use. And they can even access a nurse to, if they are having a medical appointment and they need a nurse on hand, that they can set that up for that to be able to happen. And then we also have a health literacy grant that we got, where on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we have a person who's available, again, drop in, who can kind of walk you through health literacy. So if you have questions around, you know, perhaps a diagnosis that you received, maybe you're looking for a doctor, you're like, I have this problem, I'm not sure what kind of physician I need to look for. They're there to kind of help guide people through the very confusing health process that's out there.
David, outside of Spoken Word Society, I'm sure you keep busy and active within the community in other ways. Are there other activities that you'd like to be sure get some attention, get some promo out there?
Well, I'm a big fan of the library. I spend a lot of time there. Actually, the other activities I'm involved with all pretty much are at the library. So I just encourage anybody that this is a remarkable place, Lewis, and made especially so by the Lewis Public Library and people like Rebecca and the rest of the staff there. So thank you for that. But I'd mostly just say, you know, the library, it's a great place.
Yeah, we got our hooks into David and we're not letting him go.
You're like the checks in the mail, David. Keep it coming. This is good. Well, as we come to the end of our time, I'd like to thank both Rebecca and David for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about the Lewis Public Library or the Spoken Word Society, please feel free to visit their website at lewis.lib.de.us. Again, that's lewis.lib.de.us.
Come see us at the library, and thank you so much for having us.
Delaware State of the Arts is a weekly podcast that presents interviews with arts organizations and leaders who contribute to the cultural vibrancy of communities throughout Delaware. Delaware State of the Arts is provided as a service of the Delaware Division of the Arts in partnership with News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. The Delaware Division of the Arts, a branch of the Delaware Department of State, is committed to supporting the arts and cultivating creativity to enhance the quality of life in Delaware. Together with its advisory body, the Delaware State Arts Council, the division administers grants and programs that support arts programming, educate the public, increase awareness of the arts, and integrate the arts into all facets of Delaware life. To find out more about the division, visit arts.delaware.gov.